But we say it always, but we say it sincerely. There is an outline in the back of the bulletin. If you didn't get a bulletin, you're very welcome to just go receive one. You can follow along with the lesson. We make our petition. Question is asked, what must I do to be saved? And it's a question that sometimes people ask because we answer that question typically at the close of every lesson. But in this lesson, we'll give it a little more clarification and give you kind of the reasons why we would answer that question the way we do. So the question is, what must I do to be saved? Number one, in your notes, I just put the question is analyzed. Meaning you analyze something, you take it to, into pieces. So we look at each word in the question that's being asked. First word is what? You know, in other words, I'm asking, what? I'm inquiring. I need some information. What? I need clarification or explanation. What? That is what we're asking. Must is the next word. In other words, it's what is necessary? Or is there something necessary? What must? What's essential? Or is required? What must? Or is there an obligation on my part? What must? And the third word is I. What must I? So put in your notes, make it personal. Make it me, this individual. It's my obligation. What must I do? It's not what I must think. It's not what must I feel. Rather, is there an activity that has to be done by me? What must I do? What is there an action on my part that's required by God? What's my response? What must I carry out? What must I fulfill? What must I complete? What must I do? I know the Bible says, you may be thinking about the verse in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, where Paul says, for by grace you've been saved through faith. And then he adds, it's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. And he adds, it's not of works, otherwise you could boast. But grace, that's God's part. By grace are you saved. Through faith, that's our part. But it's not faith by itself. It's not faith alone. He said, for by grace are you saved through faith. He didn't say, that's all. No more, just gotta wash your hands. No. I want to know what God requires of me to do. And it's not my idea. Any answer to this question did not originate with me. The answer to the question was not formed by a committee or majority rule. I'm responding to God's gracious plan that I have faith in. God, what do you want me to do? And if you tell me, I'm going to do it because that's my faith, that if I do what you've asked, you'll fulfill your promise. And then I ask, what must I do? That's to be saved. That's the stated purpose of my question. What must I do to be saved? I want to, in other words, what's the expected result when I comply to the requirements of do? If I do the things, God, that you're asking of me, I'm expecting the salvation that you're offering. To be saved, meaning to be rescued or preserved from harm. If you save something, means you're guarding against loss. What must I do to be saved? Have my soul saved? What must I do to have deliverance from sin and eternal penalties? What's required on my part? What's my obligation to be delivered from God, your wrath, on the day of judgment? What must I do to be spared or saved in judgment day? You know, when the angel informed Joseph about Mary having a baby, in Matthew 1, verse 21, the angel said to Joseph, "She'll bring forth a son. Call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So I want to know what I need to do to receive this gracious salvation. What must I do? So the sure, I put in your notes, this number two in your notes, the surest way is there a sure way to answer the question? Well, there's no plainer, wiser, surer way to answer the question than turn to the Bible. That's the best place to go. You can ask your friends, but I'm not sure that's a reliable source. Or put it to majority rule. Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 48, "He that rejects me and receives not my sayings has one that judges him." One that judges him. The word that I've spoken will judge him in the last day. "I've not spoken by my own authority," Jesus said, "but the Father that sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know his commandments are life everlasting. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." So, if any answer to the question is different than what the Bible says, it's not biblical. And it's not the standard for judgment. I'm not going to be judged by any other source. I'm not going to be judged by what's popular, or majority vote, or conscience, just by what I feel. You know, I just feel like this is right. I just feel like God is telling me this. No. Jesus said, "The word that I spoke, that word will judge him in the last day." It's not what the committee says. It's not how the convention answered the question. It's not how a respected person answered the question. What does the Bible say? The Bible answers the question for us. What must I do to be saved? Well, the word's going to judge us in the last day, nothing else. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21, to prove all things and to hold fast to that which is good. So we want to make sure that we proved our answer to the question, what must I do to be saved? Where do you turn for the answer in terms of the Bible? Three times the question is asked in the book of Acts. Three times. Number one, it's answered by the Jews in Jerusalem on the festival of Pentecost. Pentecost was the festival day 50 days after the Passover. Penti, meaning five. So 50 days after the Passover. So here Jesus was crucified on the Passover. He was resurrected and he ministered for 40 more days. And then he ascended back to the Father. 10 days after that, 50 days after the Passover, the apostles are gathered in Jerusalem on this feast day. Devout Jews are there. And the apostles stand up and preach. And in Acts chapter 2, in verse 36, Peter reaches a point in his sermon where he says, "This Jesus whom you crucified," "This Jesus whom you crucified," you've murdered the Messiah, you've crucified the Christ, "God has made both Lord and Christ." Next verse is, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart. Man, we took it. Peter, we're going to take your message to heart. We believe we're guilty as charged. So when they heard that, they were cut to the heart. They said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" What shall we do? I wonder what the answer is going to be. What shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, or by the authority of heaven, for the remission of sins, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What must I do to be saved? Peter said, repent and be baptized. There's the formula. They heard the word of God. Peter told them, this Jesus you crucified, God made both Lord and Christ. Ah, cut to the heart. What are we going to do? Repent. Be baptized. Half of us? No, all of you. Didn't say half can do this way and the other half can do this way. And another half? No, you can't have three halves. No, every one of you, repent and be baptized. And then it says in verse 40, and with many other words, he testified, he exhorted them, saying, save, there's our word, save yourselves from this crooked, untoward generation. Then those that gladly received his word were baptized. There were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. Verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Who were being saved? Back to verse 41. Just go six verses earlier. Those who gladly received his word were baptized. What must I do to be saved? Repent, or hear the word of God. Repent, be baptized. Did you notice what the apostle Peter didn't and the other apostles did not say in answer to the question? They cried out and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter and the apostles didn't say, oh, you can't do anything. Didn't say that. He didn't say, just have faith only. Oh, I see you're cut to the heart. That's sufficient. Just go your way now. No? Cut to the heart, that's pretty good. Convinced I crucified the Savior, just cut to the heart. No, that he didn't say that you're okay. He didn't say, ask Jesus to come into your heart. Didn't say that. He didn't say, all right, repeat this sinner's prayer. No, didn't say that. He didn't say, oh, if you had water sprinkled on you as an infant by a so-called holy man, you're okay. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say, trust your own sincere heart and do what you think is best. No, didn't say that. He didn't say, have it your own way. Didn't say that. That's good for Burger King. Have it your way. Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce. Special orders don't upset us. Well, he said, repent and be baptized. Every one of you. So that was the answer to that question in Acts chapter 2. Number 2, the second time, is by Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul. That was in the text that was read to us this morning. But the original story is in Acts chapter 9. Saul, before he became the Apostle Paul, he's on his journey to Damascus. And he's going there to arrest the disciples. He was anti-church. So he was going to bind them, arrest them, bind them, deliver them to Jerusalem. And while he's on this journey to Damascus, there's this bright light from heaven that shines around him. He falls to the ground and he hears Jesus' voice. And verse 6, so he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? There's our question. What should I do? Well, what's he going to do? The Lord said to him, you go into the city, still going to Damascus, and it'll be told you what you must do. Oh. So Saul is led into the city. He's blind. He meets Ananias, just as Jesus told him to do. He receives information, and in verse 18 of Acts chapter 9, it says he arose and was baptized. The Apostle Paul, in the text that was read to us this morning, makes his defense before the Jewish leaders, and after he recalls this conversion story, and at the very end in verse 16 of the scripture reading this morning, He has Ananias saying, and now, Saul, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now, Saul just had a tremendous religious experience. He fell to the ground.
Oh, yeah.
He's trembling. Oh, yeah. He's astonished. He's blinded. He goes on a three-day fast. His sight is now is restored. He hears a message from Ananias. But however, none of these things that I just said brought forgiveness of sins. Great religious experience. Paul, you think, Saul, oh, I don't need to do anything else. I had a light. I fasted and prayed. What did I need to do? I just had this happen. I want you to go to Damascus. And it'll be told what you must do. He goes. Ananias tells him the story of Jesus, the one he's persecuting. He says, arise and be baptized, washing away your sins. The third time the question is asked is in Acts chapter 16 by the jailer in Philippi. There's a great earthquake. The jail doors are open. The prisoners begin to escape, and the jailer's wondering, what am I going to do? In Acts 16, verse 29, he calls for a light, the jailer does. He runs in. He falls down trembling before Paul and Silas. They were jailed because of their preaching, and they were singing. The jail, there's a jailhouse rock, earthquake. The doors open, the prisoners are going up. Oh, what am I going to do? He brought them out, meaning Paul and Silas, and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? There's our question. So they said, Paul and Silas, how are you going to answer the question? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all that were in his house. He had to hear, didn't he? Took him the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his were baptized. He brought them into his house, set food before him, and he rejoiced. Interesting phrase next. Having believed in God with all of his house. What does having believed in God with all of his house include? Oh, he had to hear, didn't he? He had to believe. And he had to be baptized. Let's write the text, the same verse. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe. And then they had to preach the word of the Lord unto him because he doesn't know what to believe yet. And then he was baptized. But the last phrase says, he rejoiced having believed. You see, belief doesn't stand alone. He rejoiced having believed. Having believed includes hearing the word of God and being baptized. It's not faith only. In Romans, interesting verse, I almost reach a closing here. In Romans chapter 10, beginning of verse 8, Paul says, but what does it say? No, what does the word of God say? The word is near you, in your mouth, in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth, that your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So now we have, you have to have the word of God preached. You have to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe. There's three things. Not faith only. Mouth confession is made unto salvation. But it's interesting, you keep reading a few more verses down in verse 14. Paul says, how then can they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how can they believe in him whom they've not heard? Not biblical for someone to answer the question by saying, oh, you need to believe only in order to be saved. Paul says, how can you believe in somebody you haven't heard? You have to hear. Then you believe what you heard. And then you have to make your confession and then be baptized. The jailer had to do that, and that's what the jailer did. Paul and Silas preached unto him the word of God, and he was baptized. and he rejoiced having believed. So there's your examples, three of them I put in your lesson this morning. And they all traveled the same road to salvation. Hear, believe, repent, confess with your mouth, and be baptized. And when those things are in place, you have a cause for rejoicing. So that's the invitation we extend at the close of every lesson. A simple procedure. So we've answered the question biblically, what must I do to be saved?